This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Welcome back to the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 3. You're joined at All Bar None in O'Connor by myself, John Boy from the Riot Act, and with me the rest of the most of the rest of the Riot Act team.
Rob,
Nick,
and Tim.
Yeah,
another crappy round.
Can you?
You better say that because you only got one.
I got two. Thank you very much.
Can you run us through everyone's scores and their final standing on the ladder?
No, that's not.
I think we should.
Okay. After 2 weeks, the tipping goes: myself on 7, John on 7, Nick on 7, Tim on 3, Katina on 4. And Captain Benno on 9, leading the way.
Well, that's its relative position, you know. That's seventh position, seventh for you three blokes. Third position for me.
You look at everything backwards.
I take it where I can get it.
The last minute of the Brumbies game was their best, wasn't it?
Yes,
it wasn't your tipped Auckland.
Right. Look, let's move through the results as they happened. Chiefs 32, Hurricanes 39 in Hamilton.
It was a big win for the Hurricanes after Tana Umanga dropping the ball, going over the try line and not putting it down correctly
lost the try, didn't he?
He lost the try. It was 32 all with 3 minutes out, and the Hurricanes scampered over for a late try and to win the match. Well done them.
Yep. And I mean, winning in Hamilton's obviously a good thing. Tim, anything you'd like to add?
No, only that a lucky win to the Canes, actually. 32 all until the death, where bloody wins at the death, I tell you, it's pissing people off.
Doesn't make
where
for
Paul
Tito
went over for a good try.
Yeah, but I mean, the scores were locked at that point.
Yeah, but still, you know, it just goes to show that you've got to play the full, probably 81 minutes of rugby. And a couple of teams this week didn't play that.
It was nice to see a high scoring game as well in the comp.
Yeah, 5 tries to the Canes, 4 tries to the Chiefs. I think would have been an interesting one to be at. Certainly would have got the blood pumping, unlike some boring ball that we saw here at Canberra Stadium.
Well, we'll get to Canberra Stadium in a minute.
That was the only 4 try bonus point for the round. And in fact, would have been the first 4 try bonus point
of
round
the competition. And the Chiefs would have been pretty happy. They got, 2 bonus points out of that?
Yes. I think they probably missed Johnny Gibbs going off early in the
first losing one. A, your captain, and B, Johnny Gibbs is never going to help any side.
Question whether or not he recovers from
the
injury
for later in the season.
And a bit of a concern for the Chiefs going forward, Anisi with a suspected broken neck.
Ooh, okay.
That's nasty.
A fractured neck.
Mm. Okay. Not coming back from that one, too.
Not too quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on.
Stormers 3, Western Force 22.
You wouldn't have seen this one coming, would you?
No one would have picked this. Only one try scored.
Except for me. I saw it coming.
A few of us tipped Perth, that's for sure. That was one of your 2 picks of the round, though, so I wouldn't take too much.
It was only myself and Ben.
Cameron Shepherd with his 5 penalties was what made the game for them.
It was, and I mean, Keogh was talking about the Stormers have scored no tries in 160 minutes of rugby so far this season. They're coming up against the Chiefs, who concede a try every 20 minutes so far this season. So that's going to be a...
Interesting to see how that plays out.
The easily moved object against the easily resisted force.
we'll talk about next week's game.
We'll talk about next week. But the Stormers are looking easily the worst team in South Africa at the moment.
Which is saying a lot, really.
Yeah, it's saying quite a lot.
We said it last week. They've had a continual slide and haven't seemed to have learned from their experiences previously. I don't know what's going on with that team, but if there was a relegation system, you'd say
Southern Spears would be back again.
Southern Spears would be back again, and the Stormers would be out the door. So
it's early days in the comp.
It is, but they're not looking good. Now, speaking of teams not looking good, Sharks went down 22-9 to the... Waratahs went down 22-9 to the Sharks in Durban. Sharks are looking the business.
They are. 2 from 2 for the Sharks, and 2 good wins. I think they've only scored...
It was still a very close game. It was
12 points against them in 2 games or something.
It was just the one try that made the big difference in that match, coming late in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Waratahs, I mean, all the pundits seem to be saying the Waratahs are looking like shot dogs for the season. They've got nothing happening in the attack.
And they keep dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. They're really missing their penetration players.
Rogers and Saylor.
Rogers and Saylor, possibly losing some leadership in Vickerman in the tight five as well.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just want to go back for a moment. Force have suspended Scott Favour and disciplined two other players for the Cape Town factor, getting pissed again.
Good word. At least it wasn't the night before the game.
That's the Stormers' greatest attacking weapon. Unfortunately, it usually happens after the game, not beforehand.
So it's great for the Bulls and the
So maybe the Stormers are doing that just to give the other South African teams a boost.
Yeah, now moving back, sorry, to the Sharks Waratahs. Can we see anything, any bright lights in the Waratahs tunnel?
Yeah, interesting thing that the Waratahs have come out saying they're going to play a different type of game. The last 2 weeks they've been trying to play a very expansive game, and I commented on that last week, that they're playing, from one side of the pitch to the other, and that works really well if you can get the penetration on your flanks.
Like people coming on straight as well.
That's right, which is where Saylor would do great things for them. And Takiri, you know, when he was playing on the wing,
could do that long.
But you know, if he's getting a position behind the line and not getting a run onto it, he's never going to break the advantage line against a team that's got decent defense like the Sharks.
Having said that, a lot of their poor form in these last couple of rounds have come from errors which you'd like to think can be easily fixed. Now, is their style of play going to be devastating to other teams once they fix their errors, or are they going to change their style of play before they get to that?
Well, from what it sounds like, they're changing their style of play each week to fit the team they're playing, which I don't think is a good tactic to go with.
It's not bad in cricket.
I think it's good if you've got the discipline and the planning to execute your change plan every week, but very few teams have got that.
To be fair, I think the Waratahs have certainly worked towards that over the last couple of years, and Ewan McKenzie's built his squad to be able to execute to different game plans to suit the opponent. Mm. You know, this season is just not coming off for them so far.
Mm. It is, well, they are starting in South Africa, which isn't it? Which
it's
is never
going to be the hardest
fun,
slot.
Never a fun start. For
interesting that the pundits in the Sydney media who applauded the late flight over last week when the Waratahs won are pretty silent this week, saying, "We'll return to sea level, now they're tired, forget it."
Well, flying in the day before seems to be as successful as any tactic deployed for playing at height.
I suspect it more had to do with the team they were playing, and
they just happened to win. Look, we'll get to the Lions, because I mean they beat the Highlanders, but moving on from the woes of the Waratahs, amusing as they are, Crusaders 33, Reds 22, but it was absolutely down to the wire.
9 minutes out, Reds up 22-21, and they thought they were in with a good chance, and then suddenly two tries.
I think they were, and this showed the versatility of the Crusaders and even their depth, that if you're not on top of them 100% the entire game, they will break out and they will score tries quickly against you.
Lack of experience on the Reds rebuilding, they're not used to being in the lead with 10 minutes to go.
No, I don't think I'd
maybe they were cramping up again.
Yeah. I agree with you. And, they played really well to get to their position in the lead, but, fell asleep a bit at the end. Probably a big blow to them losing Hugh McMenamin again. Yeah. Injury, which
he's
is a real shame.
He's out for a while, isn't he?
I suspect he'll probably be out for a while this time again. That's a real shame for the Reds because they were looking the business.
Because he's young players have been coming up through the ranks, but he just keeps getting knocked out with the ring.
Australia has to start thinking about looking at the conditioning, because so many of our promising young big forwards seem to be going out with season. I mean, we've got Heenan on the bench down here at the Brumbies, we've got McMenamin in Queensland. I don't know if there's a problem with the conditioning for the big men or the training that they're putting them through, but there seems to be a pattern forming up there. Maybe it's just big fast forwards tend to break down anyway.
It's a lot of stress on your body.
Mm. Now, shall we go to boring ball now, or shall we break this on?
Let's go to boring ball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is painful.
It is.
Now, the Brumbies had a...
Brumbies 15, Blues 17, if you didn't know.
Yeah, now the Brumbies...
We're very disappointed with
Brumbies that. Brumbies had a sound game plan. They went out saying, it's pouring with rain, we will kick to the corners, eke out penalties, win ugly, but win. Sound enough, given it was absolutely pouring with rain, and it was uncomfortable enough just sitting in the stands in a poncho, let alone trying to run around and play football. Now, the problem, as far as I'm concerned, was when they started trying to kick silly field goals through the last 10 minutes of the game, and kept giving the ball back to the Blues, who worked their way back into field position and eventually won the game.
I would probably agree with you. I from sitting on the sideline and actually watching the coverage afterwards, I thought the Brumbies were well in control of the game for probably a good 75 minutes of it. And if only one of those field goals had actually come off, then it would have worked. But none of them did.
Crossbar.
No. I'm talking about Cregan's
field goal. The advantage field goal.
The other point is that the field goals kept on hitting the crossbar or the posts and coming back into play, which does really sort of, when you're kicking the field goal, you're expecting it to go dead a ball and it'll get touched in goal. You don't expect it to bounce back into play and for them to now have a chance for counter-attacking.
Anytime you attempt a field goal, you are kicking away possession though, and unless you're very sure you can kick two-thirds of them, it's not a viable tactic.
No, I understood, but it was unfortunate that they came back into play and allowed the Blues to counterattack.
And traditionally, it's a tactic that's only used when you've already got the advantage.
Well, we were already ahead. We were just trying to make the 7.
No, I mean
that's true. But it's not one that's played from field goals from 50 metres, unless you're trying to get through the semi-final of a World Cup.
Yeah.
And you've got nothing else going on.
And quite honestly, it would have been perhaps a very different game if the Blues weren't playing that expansive.
Weren't that expansive, but they scored 2 tries and we scored
one. And they would have scored a third if Dougie Howlett hadn't dropped the ball.
That's true.
It was wide open, 20 metres out, bang. All he had to do was hold on to it, and he did.
Probably would have been better for us if it scored then. We would have extracted our digits.
Let's talk about some of the controversial moments of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, ten penalties against the Blues.
And no sin bins.
Let's firstly go to Gerard getting taken out and he's screaming for the sideline with no one in front of him. Chipping the ball through. Professional foul?
No, I don't think so.
I think the best man to judge it was the ref who decided no.
So to me, I watched the game 3 times, once at the ground and twice afterwards.
That would have hurt.
It was pretty painful, but I thought I should do it.
Yeah.
Sacrifice myself. To me, that was a professional foul. There was no attempt by the Blues winger, don't know his name, but to even play for the ball. He ran straight into Gerrard. Okay, fair enough, the ball probably would have still gone out the dead ball line anyway.
That sort of thing close to the line.
Would have still gone out anyway, but there was no attempt to play the ball.
Yeah.
Now, to me, if you're not attempting to play the ball, all you're doing is playing the man, that's a professional foul.
Yeah.
Particularly in a situation like that where, you're charging the line. Perhaps not elsewhere, you see quite a bit of that sort of niggle, when people are pulled into rucks inadvertently and all that sort of thing. To me, that was a professional foul. Wasn't called. Fine, wasn't called. The other one, as Rob, you just mentioned, lots and lots of penalties and lots of warnings against the Blues. None in the first half. 4 fouls, 4 penalties all up against the Brumbies in the second half, and yet straight away, a bit of niggle at a ruck. Our Campbell has a bit of a slap.
Yeah.
It was a ruck, actually. And he slaps the ball, has an attempt at slapping the ball down. Doesn't really affect the play. And sin binning offence.
When they're on attack, though.
Sin binning offence. Yeah. Didn't affect the play.
Oh, I think it did. But then the referee thought it did, and most of the other external commentators thought it did.
Yeah, look at the replay, and doesn't actually touch the ball.
Mm. Look, it was still silly play on Campbell's part.
Sin bin or penalty?
On the line.
No warning?
On the line.
The emotions are higher at that point.
The emotions are higher at that point in the game. I think the fundamental point, though, is that the Brumbies were still... They were beaten on the scoreboard and they were beaten 2-0. It wasn't that close a game the way especially the Canberra media have been going on about, we was robbed, we deserved to win, we were in control all the way through.
Well,
you're
never robbed. The result's the result
you get. I don't think the referee had a particularly bad game. I think it would have been nice if he'd been a little harsher on some of the Blues, but...
I think it's good to have Huxley in the team and as a kicker and chaser of the ball, he's doing really well. I think we've got to look at his actual goal kicking ability because
he missed
3 shots and the last 2 weeks he's missed quite a few.
Well, Morlock was out, it would have been normally our first choice kicker.
Exactly.
Well, except for really huge shots.
Huxley was kicking the first week when we had Morlock.
After Morlock stopped.
Got knocked unconscious almost.
Yeah,
he stayed on the ground.
Personally,
I'd
look at Gerard as a kicker more than either of those two myself.
No, I'd still go Choker.
Can't choke forever.
No. But I'm still impressed with Huxley with his ability to kick and chase the ball, which is something the Brumbies have been missing for a long time.
Huxley's general play.
Just one last thing before we go to a song.
I know, I've got some more.
On the Brumbies game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A loss at home this early in the season, do you think this is going to make a difference?
Yes. Yes, it will.
It's going to make things harder. I don't think it's season-ending.
Luckily enough, we do get one bonus point from it, which is
handy
something.
Later. Yeah.
Something, at any rate. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to send a condolence to young Peter Playford, the Brumbies starting winger this week. His first game out, and
broke his nose.
Yep, runs into Bernie and somebody else, I think.
But I think running into Bernie would break anyone's nose.
Oh, it might run into someone's skull, it's going to break your nose.
Yeah. Off he goes, the poor little bugger.
I think it's not too bad for the Brumbies. One of the tougher teams they're going to play at home.
I think the Blues are shaping up some of the competition leaders, and there's not that much dishonour in losing to
them.
I
think at the moment
the top of the table.
Is it the noose factor?
The noose is having a good season. Eddie Jones is having a good season. Former Brumbies coaches are doing very well at the moment. Remains to see how the current Brumbies coach is going to do this season.
Laurie's next team will win everything.
Yeah. I think the disappointing thing for the Brumbies this week was really their lack of midfield penetration.
But that was conditions. They weren't playing for that sort of game.
Well, Huxley was just booting it downfield.
Well, do you think that also has a lot to do with the lack of Stirler?
I think they were choosing to go for the kicking option, which shut down.
I just want to bring up one more point. Johnny Tawaki's catching and passing game.
He's only got 9 fingers. Give the man a break.
No. 9 finger Johnny, you've got to pick that up. He's been a bit sloppy.
It was a crucial drop
of
the ball that got across the ceiling in the game.
Tawaki,
like all of big Islander runners, has a tendency to cough up the pill.
It's not just coughing it up. It's the catching and passing. He's had some pretty average passes coming out as well when they should be simple things.
Especially with passing and the tackle becoming ever more important in the game.
Yeah, I'm really pained to criticise anyone who's willing to chop their own finger off so they can continue playing the game.
Well, yeah, but he's got to play it well.
Yeah,
not much
same
point.
As that.
Let's go to a song now. This is from Tom Woodward's new album, Blue Day Requiem, and we're going to play Drinking the Dregs.
Disappear, but like all good magicians, when I need you, you'd reappear. 'Cause I won't be near you, and you. Every day we're drinking the dregs. Well, life is not a circus, and you are not a clown. But if I were to love you, I would only drag you down. 'Cause I won't be near, and you will not be here. Every day we're drinking the dregs. Your stare is like a vacuum. I fall in and I don't stop. When I was a stallion crawling out and falling in, every day. We're drinking the James.
Okay, so that was Drinking the Dregs from Blue Day Requiem.
It's not like none of us have ever done that.
Exactly. Now,
Bulls 24 over the Cheetahs 20.
What a game.
In Pretoria. And I'd just like to give out hoots to the Cheetahs prop who ran in a 50-metre try.
CJ Vandalinda. We mentioned him last week.
Yep, and he brought home the goods. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough for the win.
Nice close game, though.
Mm.
Another one.
Mm. And leaves both the Bulls and the Cheetahs looking to be quality South African opposition.
All we really wanted to see from these games, though, was injuries. Not much else.
What are you talking about? We want to see good upfront rugby.
Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of injuries.
And that's what we got from it.
I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I enjoy watching the Cheetahs play. I've said it the last couple of weeks. Everyone keeps on saying they're boring, but I enjoy it.
Okay. Well, you are a strange man. Last up, Lions 11, Highlanders 6. I don't know where this puts the bottom half of the competition. The Highlanders who beat the Force are losing to the Lions. It's all a little confusing.
Oh, mate,
down
the
there.
Wooden Spoon race is going to be really interesting this year. That's what's going to say. That's my call.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pick the Highlanders to be in that Wooden Spoon race myself.
I wouldn't be picking the Force.
Losing to the Lions.
Another massive error-ridden game from the Highlanders. And they had it last week against the Force. They just couldn't hang on to the pill. And they couldn't do it again this week. And just the Lions got up. Which is really interesting because the Lions don't have a bad... You know, not a great team, but certainly not a bad team.
Okay, they're rebadged Cats. They're pretty bad.
Not so.
In what way are they not rebadged Cats?
Well, they're not. They're all from one province now.
Mm.
Whereas before they were from several provinces.
So they got less talent to draw on.
Yes. At least they played together before, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are there any points of general rules discussion we want to touch on? I think the scrum laws are starting to come good.
I thought the
kinks were more ironed out. And,
I didn't think they were noticeable this round, which seems to indicate that they're going good.
Mm. I mean, some of the Sydney media have said it's a boring way to play the game when they...
Well, that's what they were saying before, though. They're continuing to harp on that this week.
Sydney media wants them to play rugby league, though. They hate the fact that no one else plays rugby league and they want the rest of the world to convert to rugby league via rugby union.
It could also be that the Waratah scrum is so decimated at the moment with lacking... I hate to say it, Dunning, but certainly missing Kanar and Vickerman.
I think they're missing Kanar and Vickerman a lot more than they're missing Dunning.
But the other
front rows, mate. Ooh.
But the other thing is, I reckon we haven't seen as many scrums that have to be reset for collapsing or for.
There was a few resets.
It was a few, but usually
I think it's less. Yeah,
I do think it's less.
But I'm sure the statisticians will give us an answer on that at some point. Mm. Now,
but just general observation, I think it's less.
Mm. Yep. Okay then, now,
Well, should we go into this week's tips?
No, we'll go to another song now.
As she slides into the room, she puts on all her makeup till she's the color of the moon. She gives me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. Well, her coriander perfume, does it keep you hanging around? 'Cause I'm so crazy, I just can't make it sound. Give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. Well, I've been drinking all this coffee. I've been waiting for the phone. I've been sitting in my bathtub. I've been sitting all alone. I'm waiting for somebody like you. I'm waiting for something to do. I'm waiting for some kind of response. Some kind of response to everything I gave you. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush, girl. I give me this fatal rush.
Tom Woodward with Fatal Rush from his new album Blue Day Requiem. Okay, looking at the round ahead, Stormers versus Chiefs in Cape Town.
I think Cape Town's going to be the deciding factor here, so I'm tipping the Stormers, because the Chiefs going to the Brighton Lights.
Worst team in South Africa, though.
So you're thinking going from Cowtown to the Bright Lights of Cape Town, it's going to blow them away.
Yep.
Hang on. The Chiefs just lost to the Force.
It was a
massive loss of the Force.
So it was a pretty miserable game, wet weather and all that sort of
rubbish. Stormers got thrashed 22-3 by the Force in Cape Town. We've got the Chiefs coming in from the close loss to the Hurricanes.
I still think...
It's your tip, Rob. I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah, look, the Force showed a lot of promise in round one. They just couldn't, you know, that's why lots of silly errors.
They didn't show that much promise.
They didn't make them this week against the Stormers. The Stormers showed nothing in round one. They showed nothing in round two.
But you're tipping them to beat the Chiefs.
I haven't I?
Yes. Down.
I love the way you make my arguments.
No, don't cross it out.
You're not changing that.
Yeah, you had the choice.
That's why we made you write it there.
I have indeed tipped the Stormers. I think they'll get it right this week.
Okay. Everyone else has tipped the Chiefs.
Okay, so we have Katina on the Chiefs, John on the Chiefs, I'm on the Chiefs, and Rob and Tim on the Stormers.
Look, I think it's the opportunity to come back into the game and score me a couple of points.
Enough of your spin doctoring. Bulls versus the Force in Pretoria.
At altitude.
Has anyone not tipped the Bulls?
It's a clean sweep of tipping to the Bulls.
Good stuff.
No one has any faith in the Force to win at Pretoria.
Oh, look, Cameron Shepherd may do some good 60-metre penalties and get the wins for them. I think he's doing really well, and he's a good climb for the Force. Yes.
Frankly, Derek Cougard's a better kicker.
Yeah,
whether or not the Bulls forwards
don't
give away the Bulls forwards.
The Bulls forwards will completely dominate the Force,
especially with Favour suspended.
But they might also be giving away lots of penalties. That's going to be the big question.
I think the Force will be giving away more penalties.
It was a close game. They lost a close game to the Bulls, to the Sharks in the first round. They showed their class last weekend.
Beating a very good Cheetahs side.
Yeah, beating a good Cheetahs side. They'll do it again this weekend against the Force comfortably.
Yeah. Anyway, everyone's tipping the Bulls. There's no points to be gained there. Yeah. Hurricanes v Blues in Wellington.
I reckon this will probably be the match of the round. I think there's two top contending teams at the moment. I know the Canes lost to the Reds in Brisbane the first round, but I think it could be pretty exciting.
Who's tipped what for that one?
I'm going the Canes.
Mm-hmm.
As is Tim.
Yeah, we've got Rob and I on the Canes.
Blues
for John, Katina and Nick.
So those who think the Stormers are likely to beat the Chiefs are also tipping the Hurricanes to beat the Blues.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just going to anyway. Because, my God, how good is Luke McAllister? He just creamed the Brumbies. He was the class above everyone on the Brumbies team.
As John said
week.
Before, enough
and
he'll spin
for a
up
player who's not in the Flakes. Oh my God. But that aside, he's got to get over Tana. Mike Tana's the gun defender.
Yeah, it's amazing that Tana Umaga and Luke McAllister aren't in the... I mean, I know Tana's technically retired from international rugby, but still, it's, that there's so much New Zealand talent lying around that they just don't even feel the need to utilise it.
It's disgusting.
Mm.
Maybe we can recruit. I think when Luke gets disgruntled and not playing for the... For the All Blacks, he should come and play for the Brumbies, and then he'll path into the Wallabies. No problems.
Right, because he can't get a start with the All Blacks, so he'll come here.
He'll certainly get a start for the All for the Wallabies.
Yeah. Not bad at all. Okay, Reds v Brumbies in Brisbane. Weather will play a factor in this, I'd imagine. If it's stinking hot, the Brumbies will.
It has been stinking hot in Canberra for some time, except for last weekend.
Yeah, not that humid though.
No,
that's true.
Not
very dry heat down
there. Oh, I suppose it'll be. It'll be a clash of the converts, Schifoski versus Huxley.
Yeah, a bit of a switch there.
Yeah, I mean,
Huxley's got the wood on Schifoski, mate.
I reckon he's got the longer boot, but
Schifoski's got a better penalty kicking game than Huxley.
It's going to be interesting game.
You see that Sterling will be kicking.
So how are we tipping?
Yeah,
Sterling's
okay, what
have
we got here? We've got Brumbies. Hey, we've got all Brumbies.
Good work.
We're all loyal.
Yes.
This is going against my normal sort of thing. Tip against the Brumbies because if the Brumbies lose, I feel good because I've tipped right. If the Brumbies win, I still feel good because I support the Brumbies. But the Brumbies have had their wood over the Reds for a number of seasons,
mm-hmm.
and I expect them to continue to have it this weekend.
Especially as it's not actually as being played at Suncorp, not what's the old stadium name?
Ballymore.
Lang
Park.
Lang Park is Suncorp. But yeah. Anyway, on that note, how have the world tipped?
All Brumbies.
All Brumbies, great. Okay, we'll just go to a song then.
There's a dark wind blowing smoke out to the sky. I cannot find no food and the river is dry. There's pigeons that are falling in the middle of the street. I found you in an alley where the beggars like to eat. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you caught my eye. Well, I brought you to my flop house and I tied you to the bed. You said that you enjoyed it when I blindfolded your head. For the landlord didn't realize guys that we were. So we made out on the subway in a blanket made of fur. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you caught my eye. Some people, they get lucky and they buy a block of land. They grow all sorts of veggies and they eat all that they can. Well, me and you, we found a place that nobody owns just yet. So we set up camp for summer until the winter will hedge our bed. Yes, you caught my eye. 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 Well, we lived like Jane and Tarzan and we made plenty of love. I chased you through the forest and I laid you in the mud. Our grapes, they were in season and our appetites were hot. We did so many things that in the cities you cannot. Yes, you caught my eye. The apocalypse is coming, it's been written in the news. There's all sorts of solutions and all sorts of different views. But we never paid attention till the sky began to burn. In a flash, just like an instant, there was nothing left to learn. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you caught my eye. Yes, you. And you wet me with your tears. You kissed me on my stiffened lips and you whispered in my ears. But you can kiss and cry and whisper, but that's not me there anymore. I'm up here in heaven. They put locks on all the doors. Yes,
was Tom Woodward's You Caught My Eye from his Blue Day Requiem album. Last three games of the coming round, Cheetahs v Waratahs in Kimberley. Your thoughts, people?
I'm going to Tars.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Right. It's a... So is Katina. Katina's picked the Tars as well. Something wrong with both of you. Obviously, you know, anything I'm ready to tip the same as you do. It must be insane.
Why are you tipping the Cheetahs, Tim?
Why? Mm-hmm. At home. Tars, long road trip. Haven't got their act together.
Yep.
Not gonna do it against the Cheetahs. A Cheetahs side who are playing reasonably well.
Out of their skins with pretty limited talent.
That's right.
Except in the front row,
yeah.
And the Tars, we've got no front row at the moment.
Yeah, and those scrums are going to get embarrassing, I think.
I think, yeah, the you know, a game is won in the forward pack, and the Cheetahs have all the money over the Tars.
The Tars don't have a functional back line, particularly
as the Tars haven't been able to get their act together, and they were talking about playing. You know, I read something about the Tars planning on playing in tight and close. You know, you just can't play a tight, close game against a quality outfit like the Cheetahs.
When you've got Van der Linde and Ollie LaRue smashing the crap out of you in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's against that sort of team you actually need to be playing your expansive game and running around the outside of them.
Well, I reckon the Pansies have got all over the pussies, so I'm going for them.
The Pansies over the pussies.
Well,
I think you're delusional.
What's the tipping sheet on that?
Okay, we've got Rob and Katina with the Tars.
Right.
And our sane people who are, you know...
I'm not sure if there's Storm is here.
are all tipping the Cheetahs too. To take home the trophy.
Or the game, anyway. Now, this is an intriguing one. Lions v Crusaders in Johannesburg.
I don't see that as intriguing. Never tip the
Cats. Crusaders have to travel an awfully long way.
Exactly. If the Lions are ever going to beat the Crusaders, this is the game they're going to beat them in.
And I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Particularly coming off a win against the Highlanders, opposition.
It was a draw last year, wasn't it? This game... No, sorry, it must have been...
Cats Crusaders.
Must have been Cheetahs Crusaders.
You must have been watching something else, mate.
They lost... they drew one game and lost one game in South Africa.
Actually, I do recall the Cats gave the Crusaders a pretty good run for their money at Jade Stadium last year.
So there you go. I knew it was
a close game. Anyway,
if the Lions
because it was at the end of the season.
It was a close game, but we've all tipped the Crusaders, except for Katina, who's gone with the Lions.
Who is at the bottom of our tipping comp, is that correct?
No, I am.
With his crazy tips.
Yeah. Tim's crazy.
I'm just going to go to left field here and win the competition by surprise margin.
Maybe.
You've got an undeclared Mazaire hand going on here.
That's right.
You've got a little bit of paper post-dated and signed waiting with your lawyer.
Last game of the round is Sharks versus Highlanders.
Open on May 26th.
And I think...
that's Sharks Highlanders in Durban.
Yes, and I think the Sharks are going to have it here. They're doing pretty well, and they are playing at home, and they play well at home. As soon as they have to travel, they go rubbish. But
Sharks have been the quality team. Highlanders lost to the Lions last week.
Yep.
It's a question of whether they can recover on tour. I mean, we saw in the cricket that you leave England out here long enough and they start to play a decent game, but 3 weeks isn't long enough for that kind of recovery.
Yeah, to me, the Highlanders are missing three key players. Okay, they're missing Anton Oliver and Carl Heyman up front.
Yeah.
And they're missing Nick Evans at 5'8".
Yeah.
Now, when you're looking at, you know, someone as inspirational as Anton Oliver, as solid as a rock
Anton,
front rower.
Anton can't count, though. Remember?
Nonetheless, he's an inspiration to the rest of the team. You know,
he's been there,
done that. You know, Carl Heyman, grumpy old farmer from the South Island. And Nick Evans, who's their key playmaker. And they're just not getting it together over a Sharks side that's on fire.
Yeah. No, I think... Is anyone tipping the... Katina's tipping
Katina.
The Highlanders.
Yes, Katina's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, she's gone with the Highlanders.
Mm-hmm.
I was tempted to for momentarily.
I bet you Benno, when he puts his tips in, will be going with the Highlanders.
Benno will go with the Highlanders.
He's a diehard Highlander supporter.
He gives 50 bucks a year to his bookie back in the Highlanders to win the trophy, so...
1 year.
No, he does it every year.
I know, one year
he'll come up with some decent odds and, you know, actually make his money back. Most of the time, it'll be like the poker machines, he'll lose.
Yeah, I think it's like the Ian M. Banks character who got himself put in suspended animation until his team won the Orbital Cup, and the Orbital Minds just said, nah, he's never coming back.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah. Anyway,
this year in the competition, who's the finals contender? Can't pick the final four. We've got a bunch
Blues,
of All Blacks
Crusaders,
players. All out.
Hurricanes. Chiefs.
Blues Crusaders, Hurricanes, Chiefs.
No. Blues Crusaders.
Do the South African teams or the Australian teams have a look in?
I think at this point it's a top six. I think the Sharks are in it. I think the Brumbies are in it.
I think the Bulls.
No, I don't think the Bulls are there, but I think the Hurricanes are there. I think Canterbury's there. I think Auckland's there in that top six, which is going to slug it out.
I think you certainly pick Canterbury, the Blues, and the
I think the start of the season is going to be change a lot once we get to round eight and all those All Blacks start coming back to playing for the New Zealand team.
They might be out of sorts, mate. They might have not had match practice. They could be really crap.
Yeah. I think that first week's going to be actually very tough for those teams, reassimilating those guys. I mean, it will disrupt all their patterns of play. It's certainly not doing their competition chances any favours. I think it might have hurt their World Cup, especially with all the other young players who are standing up and being counted. But,
well, three out of the five teams will be playing at home that week.
Yeah. Certainly, I think if they'd ever let the New Zealand Maori into the World Cup, it would make for a much more entertaining World Cup for everyone.
Yes, it would.
Yes.
They'd probably still win to be in a Maori v All Blacks final.
The All Blacks always choke in the World Cup.
I was about to say, come on, we all know France is going to win this year.
France is going to win this year, are they?
Yeah, okay. 50 bucks on France, I'll get you some good odds, I reckon.
Early on.
I don't think you'll get much odds on that.
I think that'd be fairly low. I think
50 bucks on Namibia to get to the semi-finals.
I think that's
Romania.
You're just mocking Ben's Highlanders.
Maybe a little bit.
What makes you think that?
All right. That's us done for the pod. Thank you very much for listening all the way through.
Once again, no beer?
Oh, no. That's why we had that short break in the middle, because we forgot to do beer. There we go.
I was going to go buy a round of beer for the last thing, but if we're going to miss out on beer for this week, I'll have to do it next week.
Nick will buy two beers next week.
Nick is more important than we do the beer review in the middle of the podcast. Anyway, thank you for listening. And
good night from me.
See you all later. Good night.
Good night from us too.